church school curricula where we follow along the same text in the worship service. And we did that this past autumn, and we're continuing it now after Advent, which is a curriculum called Seeking Peace Together. And I'd just like to remind you a little bit of some of what we covered in the autumn if you were here in September through November. The first idea was how we create peace with God, and we talked about that line in the Lord's Prayer, Your Kingdom Come. What does it mean for us to bring God's kingdom on earth? We talked about what it meant to be born of the Spirit. We talked about when Jesus talks about the vine and the branches, what it means for us to be connected to the true vine of God and to bear fruit worthy of God's kingdom. Then second, we talked about peace within ourselves. And these are all on YouTube. You can go back and check them out on archives if you want to. Peace within, to believe and know that we are loved by God, what we do when we do the words of assurance every Sunday. Letting go of worry. I know that particularly resonated with a lot of us who are worriers here. Cultivating peace of heart and mind. So that was all the peace within section. And then we had a series that continued in November, and we had the last part of it last Sunday, which is how we develop peace with others. And we looked at the story of the twins, Jacob and Esau, and their kind of competitive brotherhood all through their lives. We looked at how Isaac treated his neighbors. We looked with our children at Abigail and David, a very obscure story to some of us. And last week we talked about Elisha and the soldiers and the chariots of fire that only a few people could see, and his sharing a meal with his enemies. So we're turning today to the last part of this curriculum, this Sunday and next, which is peace with creation. And I want to try something a little bit different than what we normally do, which is we're going to look at the second chapter of Genesis. And I'm going to read it aloud, but I'm going to invite all of us to go into some meditation that I'm going to guide you in. And I know that meditation is not for everybody. Sometimes many like me may want to show up at church and just receive a sermon that's been well prepared. Today we're going to do a meditation together. I'm going to invite you to sermonize in your mind a little bit. Some of it is going to be as you listen to the scripture. It'll be a few minutes, and then we'll have about 5 to 10 minutes more where I will guide you in thinking about how to live in that scripture as ourselves. Now, normally, if I were going to preach a sermon about creation, I would talk about the glories of creation, but I would end up somewhere about our moral imperative as stewards of creation. All of us, I'm sure, are quite alarmed at the news we hear about the encroaching environmental crisis, how we're already seeing it, how it's actually alarming some of our scientists that it's happening faster than they thought. This is clanging in our heads all the time. Today, I want to take us into a little more imaginative space, a little more spiritual space within, and think about what kind of moral imperative that creates in us to live. But mainly, I want us to think about what it means to appreciate creation. Just to get ready for this, I'd like you to go ahead and open your hymnals. You all know what your hymnal looks like. To hymn number 28. And you can just set it aside for right now on the pew next to you, just or the chair next to you. Just have it open. You don't need to look at it until later in the meditation, but I have it ready. And for those of you who maybe meditation's not your thing, or you're not sure, I invite you to just lean into a little bit, be open-minded, see what happens. But let's all of us get comfortable in our seats, get our feet flat on the floor. Assume a posture of comfortable readiness. And if you need to close your eyes, great. If you need to focus on something in front of you, preferably not your iPhone, just to center in a little bit. And I'd like you to take a few deep breaths. Sometimes it helps to put a finger on your pulse at your wrist or a hand on your heart, just to feel the rhythm of your body right now. Take one big breath for the Creator who gives us life. And another big breath for Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who wore human skin and bones just like you and I do. And another big breath for the Holy Spirit who lives and breathes among us still. I want you to imagine that there's a warmth of the sun touching your heart and increasing a glow in your body and warm healing light throughout your whole system, this glory of creation that is your body. invite you to imagine that you're in some place of beauty in the natural world, in creation. Some place that might be your version of the Garden of Eden. Some place you may have been or you'd like to go that inspires you just to look at it. And if at all possible, take your mind's eye, your sense of awareness to that place and seat yourself someplace safe and comfortable where you can take in the view. And I invite you to enter into that Eden together as we listen to the story of how it all started. The story of heaven and earth when they were created. That at the time God made earth and heaven before any grasses or shrubs had sprouted from the ground, God hadn't yet sent rain on earth. Nor was there anyone yet to work on the ground, because the whole earth at that time was watered by underground springs. And God did an amazing thing by forming a human being, Adam, out of the dirt, the Adama of the ground. And God blew into the nostrils the breath of life of this new being. And the human being came alive, a living soul. And then God planted a garden in Eden, out in the east. And God put this new human being they had just made in that garden. And God made all kinds of trees grow from the ground. Trees beautiful to look at and good to eat. The tree of life was in the middle of the garden. And also the tree of knowledge of good and evil. A river flows out of this garden to water it. And from there it divides into four rivers. Picture them if you can. The first river is named Pishon, which means overflowing. And it flows through Havilah, which means circle, where there is gold. And the gold of this land is good. The land is also known for a sweet-scented resin and the onyx stone. There's a second river named Gihon, which means gushing. And it flows through the land of Cush. There's a third river named Hiddekel, which means rapid stream. And it flows east of Assyria. And there's a fourth river known as the Euphrates, the great river, to the cradle of civilization. God took this new human and set him down in the Garden of Eden to work the ground and keep it in order. And God commanded the human, you can eat from any tree in the garden, except from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat from it. The moment you eat from that tree, you're dead. But God said, it's not good for this human to be alone. I'll make him a helper, a companion. So God formed the dirt from the dirt of the ground, all the animals of the field and all the birds of the air, and God brought to the human to see what he would name them. And whatever the human called each living creature, that was its name. The human named the cattle, named the birds of the air, named the wild animals, but he didn't find a suitable companion. So God put the human into a deep sleep. And as he slept, God removed one of his ribs and replaced it with flesh. And then God used the rib that he had taken from the human to make woman and presented her to the human man. And the man was thrilled and said, finally, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Her name is woman, or Isha, for she was made from man, Ish. The two of them, the man and his wife, were naked, but they felt no shame. I invite you to stay in that garden wherever you placed it, this place of beauty and wonder, a place where you are safe and comfortable. And I want you to imagine that God is speaking to you, calling your name, hear God call your name, and saying to you directly, you belong here. This is your home. I entrust it to you. I invite invite you to look around the landscape of this Eden in your mind and imagine some of your favorite plants. What do they look like? What do they smell like? What do they taste like? See these miraculous plants that take the carbon from the air and give us life-giving oxygen. Look around, and if you see any of your favorite animals, it may be an animal that's known to you or one you wonder about. Notice how they move. Notice what makes you smile. What concerns you? What draws you to them? Remember that God made these animals as part of this interdependent web of life that you and I exist in, that we might all help each other live life fully. As you look around this Eden in your mind, what do you give thanks for? What are you grateful for? How does it serve you and help you live your life? Abundant springs of water, the growing plants and animals. Tell God what you need from this planet. And is there a helper you need? Someone who can be your companion in this life, in this journey? How is God asking you to take care of creation? In small ways, in big ways. What part of this garden has God entrusted to you to share and to make whole? I invite you to ask God for what you need in this garden, on this day, in this place. And I invite you to listen for what God is asking of you. For the us all sing.